is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Mike Norris is Executive Director of Douglas Cares. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, first of all, just give people kind of an overview of what Douglas Cares is.
Douglas Cares is the child abuse center for Douglas County. We've been established since May of 1994, and children that have had abuse, be it sexual, physical, neglect, or threat of harm, or mental abuse, we work these cases up and then provide, if needed, mental health therapy for these kids. We also do mental health assessments for all children coming into foster care in Douglas County. And we also do mental health and regular what we call CANS assessments on these kids. Now we're required to do them annually also.
And how long have you been executive director?
7 years.
Wow. Now, and you succeeded someone that was pretty well known.
She was pretty well known, yes, my wife, Evelyn Badger Norris.
And that was an interesting situation. She was ready to retire and you weren't.
No, I'm not the retiring type yet, but I think in my future, it may be there.
So talk about your background before you were at CARES.
My background is in the criminal justice system with 30 years with Douglas County Sheriff's Office. And then I became director of Douglas County Parole and Probation. After that, I tried to retire, but it was short-lived, about 35 days.
That is short-lived.
And I was asked to come back and finish a federal smuggling case. And I came back, and it was 5 years later we were done with that.
Wow. So how was CARES impacted by coronavirus? We talked to other people as we've gone through all this. A lot of different organizations, providers of services of a lot of different arenas, had to do some things differently starting mid-March.
Yes, I mean, it actually came on slow, and then the mandates continued to build, of course, like we all now recognize. But it did have an effect because of the school situation with school closures and whatnot. So it's perpetual adjusting and has been since March.
So what were some of the things that you had to do differently?
Well, we had to learn to do telehealth, which is now a going concern and becoming more commonplace with therapy and in the medical field, I might add. The precautions and guidelines set by the CDC and the state of Oregon, we've had to work up policies and procedures so that everyone, staff and clients, are protected. And then we had to put together working from home. And that was primarily with telehealth and some phone calls. And recently, July 2nd, the week before July, we came back to the office, staff only, doing telehealth, and now we have opened July 2nd.
Now, with all the restrictions and all the changes, were there some of the things that you normally do that you were still able to do in person in the office?
Yes. We are an essential service, according to the state. And with that, we continue to do forensic interviews of victim children. And we also continue to do the medical, forensic medical exams, and on certain days our well child exams.
So during the maybe the height of the lockdown, or as we kind of went through this whole process, there were so many things in society, so much data coming out about how people were adapting or not adapting. One thing that I heard from a couple of the agencies were talking about increased calls for service for violence issues, but at the same time believing that there was more out there than was getting reported because people were in situations where nobody was leaving the house and they were kind of stuck in situations and sometimes couldn't even call for help. What did you guys run into?
We found physical abuse was up about 15%. I'd say 12 to 15%. The neglect cases were on the rise because of exactly what you're speaking of. And we've had some very serious cases of physical abuse with broken bones and so forth to victims as young as five. So it's, we've seen some pretty astonishing types of physical cases.
Was it the stress that everyone had to deal with in different ways? Did that just make bad situations worse?
On our part, no, because we're professionals.
No, but I mean in terms of for the victims.
I think so. But we spend a lot of time with our victim children. They know that they're in a safe place. They can say what's on their mind or not. We don't put words in the children's mouth during interviews at all. The kids have to kind of open up at their own pace when they feel comfortable. But to answer your question, we're seeing more of, I don't know if I'd use the term horrendous, but more and more serious types of cases.
Well, and even just especially April, March into May, I noticed just on routine police log entries, certain things happening more often. There were more cases of strangling, and sometimes multiple ones, you know, in a day, and you could just see a real uptick in some situations.
Well, we're living in a world now that drug use, for instance, a lot of what is known as simple possession cases is now a misdemeanor, not a felony. So that's going to add to what goes on in the home life, I think. And the same thing with marijuana use is lawful now. So you combine that with alcohol and being out of work and a number of other things, there's circumstances that are just going to be explosive.
And do you feel like everything is so uncertain going forward right now with all the statistics that are coming out at the moment? Do you see these problems slowing down a little bit, or have they just gotten worse as this has progressed?
I think this spring has been more progressive in the types of cases that we're seeing with shooting victims. And assault victims, very much so.
Mike Norris, Executive Director of Douglas Cares. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1244 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, News Radio, 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson Show coming at 1. Tomorrow, State Representative Gary Leaf will be on Inside Douglas County. Mike Norris, Executive Director of Douglas Cares, with us this afternoon, talking about their work during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, you mentioned just a few days ago, being open back up to take folks? What kind of things have you had to put in place just in terms of procedures for people coming in and all that sort of thing?
Quite a bit. We have, of course, CDC and statewide guidelines. We have to meet, one, clients that come in. Only one adult can be with the client, be that foster parent or mom or dad. We meet them at the door. We do their temperature. We ask the questions through the CDC guideline questions. They must be wearing a mask, or we give them mask, child and adult both. Then the parent must wait out in our waiting room. We give them information on what's happening constantly with the child and explain why we're doing what we're doing. And then for interviews, for instance, our advocate will stay with the child, and we show them the interview room and explain to them what's going to happen, and then the interviewer does the interview, for instance. Same with the medical staff. Law enforcement and DHS, if it's one of their cases, they have to go through the same process, wear a mask. We are also doing, even though we're in the office, there is families that like doing the telehealth. It's more, it fits better for their circumstances. And then we have other folks that, for instance, for therapy, the no-show, what we call no-shows, it's above average by about 5% or so.
It probably has been its own level of stress just having to change the way you are doing these things.
Yes, because you have to keep on top of the guidelines daily. So we've spent a lot of time doing that. We've had our building completely sanitized. We're ordering machines that will clean the bacteria and viruses out of the air. We scrub everything constantly after folks come in. Therapists and skills trainers and so forth have to clean their office after anyone's been in their office. And then we have thorough cleaning by an outside provider on the whole building every week.
Wow. Well, just like a lot of people, we have our giant can of Lysol over here in the corner, you know, and everybody's having to adapt. But it sounds like you're able to do those things, but without it really impacting the service that you can provide to those clients, to those people who need help.
True. I think everyone's getting used to it. They understand and that we're protecting them, and by them wearing a mask, we're protected also. And if we explain to these families why we're having the sanitizer on their hands, mask, and why we're wiping down behind them, they understand. And I think we're trying to be as safe for these families as well as our staff.
So is your staffing at the same level as it was before March?
No, it is not. It's down by two therapists.
And was that a budget cut, or how did that?
Financial, yes.
So with the potential budget cuts to different areas in state government, and that's going to be discussed more in the next special session two of the legislature here in a few weeks. We'll probably be talking with Gary Leaf about that tomorrow. Are you worried about the potential impact there?
Yes. I mean, a $40 billion budget, state's looking at about a $12 billion shortfall, conceivably. We're told that some of our grants are safe during this current biennium, 2021. But I think in actuality, we don't know. We don't know.
And how, if people aren't familiar, how is Douglas Cares funded?
We are funded by state grants, which are pass-through money from the federal government. We can bill on OHP clients through our CCO, and then foundation grants and giving sources.
And then do you get, funding from even like individuals and things
yes.
like that?
Yes, very much so. And we put on fundraisers, and 10 Down has been really great for us. This last 3 years, we've been having a bowling tournament out there every year as a fundraiser, and they've just been fantastic.
And of course, this year, everybody's fundraisers are running a little bit differently.
Yes, they're not. And we also, we put on things for children. We have a Foster Kids Day, usually in August. We'll see what happens this year. That may not happen. We do things for the families that are, if they need gas cards, transportation, and food, and a number of other things. So we try and balance all that with the funds that we have.
And I'm sure, like a lot of other organizations, as you do look at the fundraising aspect, people are having to rethink how they do that, either, ways to keep more socially distant events or whatever, but they just, it's real hard when you're really there to provide a service and do all that. You need to raise some money, and you don't want to spend all your money or all your time trying to figure out how to raise money. You want to spend it providing the service.
Yes, it's difficult. Well, I think there's a lot of people in the same boat, so to speak, right now, with trying to balance their life and work and even layoffs. So it's an everyday adventure.
For the kids that you're dealing with, of course, if you're seeing them, they've not had good situations. Obviously, has this pandemic, has it been harder on them, not in terms of maybe what has taken place from those that are doing things that shouldn't be done, but just do you see the stress from the kids just of life in general?
Yes, very much so. It's very apparent on all of the family members, especially the victims, and the victims' siblings. It affects them. And so, but we spend a lot of time with these children. We don't have therapy that is just limited to 12 to 16 weeks, so to speak. We've had kids for a number of years. The longest that I know of is a little girl that we've had for 5.5 years.
And for the people that are providing service, what kind of background or accreditation do they have?
Most have bachelor's for being at what's called a QMHA, but master's level therapy.
And how hard is it to find people to do that these days?
It's not the easiest thing. Douglas County is rural. The funding for that level of education is less than you can do in Eugene, Salem, Portland, and probably even Medford. So, yes, it's got to be the right person. The therapists that we have love Roseburg and Douglas County. The amenities in this county are just, delightful. Hour and a half to the ocean, hour and a half to Diamond Lake and Crater Lake, and it's the livability factor is what's good about Douglas County.
If people listening, if there's somebody that would like to help you guys out, how do they make contact?
They can go to our website, cares.com, or they can go to our Facebook account, douglascares.org, and you will see on that everything you need to know about our staff, how to report, how to help us out, and you can also just pick up the phone and give us a call.
All right. Mike Norris from Douglas Cares. Thanks for coming in.
You're quite welcome.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.